Well, good morning. We welcome you in to a Wednesday midweek edition of My Car Guru with the guru himself live and in studio. Here he is.
Wow. That is just so impressive the way you do that sometimes. It's almost like you're introducing somebody important.
Well, for the purposes of this show, I'd say you're important.
I'm semi-important.
Hyper-important.
Just like a semiconductor is a semiconductor of electricity.
Yeah.
Was that a good transition?
Yeah. What does that mean, semiconductor?
Well, it means it's not a conductor. So you've got different types of elements in the world. Some of them are called conductors of electricity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So like a copper wire would be a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Gold. Lots of different metals are really good conductors
yeah.
of electricity. Some of them, the electricity flows better through than others, mm-hmm. and it's all based on the makeup of the molecule or the mm-hmm. atom. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then the opposite of a conductor is called an insulator. Okay.
Right.
So I'm nothing sure. passes through it.
Right.
It just, the electrical current will come to it and then mm-hmm. Puts on the brakes and stops.
Right.
And then you have semiconductor.
Mm-hmm.
And a semiconductor, the best semiconductor in the world, is an element called?
A computer chip.
No. And what's the element that computer chips are made out of? The primary element.
I don't know.
You'll know as soon as I tell you.
Okay.
What is the location, what is the nickname of the place where
Silicon.
Google, there you go. Silicon Valley, right?
Okay. I got
so
you.
Silicon is the semiconductor.
Okay.
And based on my 1 hour viewing of a video that I understood the first 5 minutes of, I did understand that silicon can basically share a few electrons from two different elements that are on either side of it on the periodic table. Did you take chemistry?
I did, but
you remember the periodic table has all
yeah.
the elements?
There used to be 103. I don't know how many there are.
I don't know how many there are. But anyway, you've got silicon. Let's just call it silicon. You want to?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Or silicone.
Is it silicone or silicon?
Yeah. Silicon, let's just go with that, because silicone, I think, is something used to...
I know.
Okay,
yeah.
We won't go there. But anyway...
Dolly Parton, very familiar.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, silicon. On either side of it, on the periodic table, are two other elements. I think one of them is boron, which is... and the other one is phosphorus or something like that. Yeah, phosphorus and boron.
Mm-hmm.
And so the silicon can borrow some electrons from them, and it'll change the properties of basically the chip. So anyway, all computer chips have a foundation of silicon. I'm struggling with that.
I've got you started on silicon.
There you go.
Yeah.
But microchips, this has been the main... news, I guess, in the auto industry, and it's why my F-150's inventory that would normally be at Gateway Ford on my lot is sitting in a lot in Dearborn, Michigan, and in Kansas City, Missouri, and then the F-250s and Expeditions that are supposed to be sitting on my lot right now are sitting in a racetrack parking lot in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they don't have enough silicon chips that are microprocessors that are made mm-hmm. that they can put in these trucks. So thank you. But somehow the Ford Motor Company has managed to come up with a new supplier of chips. So they are, as we speak, going out in the parking lot, pulling in my F-150s one at a time and installing the components that they could not install in order to finish the truck so mm-hmm. they can ship it to me. This is just unprecedented. You know what that means?
Well, it means it hadn't happened before.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had to get this figured out pretty soon, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, this is something that couldn't go on and on.
Well, it could have, but it would have basically put a lot of car dealers out of business.
Right.
There are car dealers now that have no new vehicles. And mm-hmm. they're trying to survive on service and on used vehicle sales.
Well, it's not just car dealers. You know, it's all kinds of other products too, right?
I talked to a guy that runs a basically, he installs sound systems in vehicles and alarm systems mm-hmm. and cameras and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty much out of business right now. I mean, he's going to make it, but he has no inventory. I said, do you have any radios? Because I need a radio. I need a Kenwood radio that has Bluetooth, Apple CarPlay, navigation, you know, all the features mm-hmm. to go in my 49 car hauler project. Mm-hmm. And he says, Lenny, you might try Amazon, but we've got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the lack of computer chips.
Right.
You know, there are two flavors of chips, basically, barbecue and a kettle, plain. No, the flavors of chips when it comes to computers are logic chips and memory chips.
Logic and memory.
I need more memory chips, personally.
Yeah.
But logic chips are the brains of electronic devices. They process information to complete a task.
Mm-hmm.
Among logic chips, there's CPUs, which is a central processing unit. They are the original chips, first designed in the 60s. But there are also processors with a specific function in mind. You know, just like these things called graphical processing units, these actually is what, when you look at your iPhone and you see the apps, that's a graphical processing unit that's creating that app.
GPU.
Yeah. GPU for short.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several others. But anyway, microchips store information. There are two types of, memory chips are the other kind. Memory chips basically just take all the data that you can put in them and hold it until you recall it. So like when I fly my drone, I have a little, about half of a postage stamp. It's a micro SD with 64 gigabytes of space on it that I just plug into the side, and I can do multiple recordings, when I'm talking about probably 30 or 40 different recordings and probably several hundred pictures that I can put at the highest quality level. Mm-hmm. And then it fills up. It says, memory card is full. Have you ever been using anything that said memory is full?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we when I worked in TV the last couple of years, we shot on P2 cards. They were video cards, and occasionally you would get to the point where you couldn't shoot anymore because it mm-hmm. would say memory full.
Yeah. Well, my Apple MacBook is almost full now mm-hmm. as far as memory is concerned. It warned me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's this file that I have. It's called iMovie that I have. I've created a lot of videos and stuff mm-hmm. like, and I've never sent them to the cloud. So they are getting ready to be sent to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I have the foggiest idea, but I know it's not on my computer. And if I want them back, I can get them.
Some storage device way up in the sky somewhere.
Up there in the clouds.
In the cloud.
No, they're out probably in Silicon Valley.
Probably, you know? Yeah.
But so that's what's been the holdup on this whole industry of ours, but hopefully it's getting solved. Ford is not going to allow Ram and Silverado to outsell the Ford F-150 this year.
Yeah,
that is probably the most important priority that Ford Motor Company has, because mm-hmm. they have been in a leadership position for the last, it's either 43 or 44 years in a row.
And they don't want to give it up.
They're not going to give it up.
Yeah.
You know, if they have to send out teams of ninja to go and attack airport parking lots to steal computer chips out of people's cars and trucks, then they will do that.
I hope it
doesn't come. And install them in F-150s in the parking lot.
We hope it doesn't come to that.
Have you ever heard of microchip ninjas?
I think that was that's a new movie that's being made right now. It's going to come out.
Oh, where does this stuff come from? Anyway, I just thought I'd enlighten you a little bit on that. And we shall be back here in just a minute.
Welcome back, My Car Guru, on this Wednesday morning. It's midweek. We've got Lenny Lawson right here with us.
We all want to be entertained in our cars. A lot of people are using their Bluetooth technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some folks still have to actually take a USB cable and plug it into their phone in order for it to connect. But Bluetooth, which is a radio signal, right?
Yeah.
Low power.
To pick it up, yeah.
Has mm-hmm. allowed us the luxury of not having to plug in our device
right.
when we get into the car. And so you go to your infotainment screen.
Mm-hmm.
Still can't get used to that. and find your phone or your Bluetooth device in the menu of things on the screen and touch it, and then the music that you have stored on your phone will play through your speakers.
It's wireless, as they say.
It's totally wireless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll never forget my dad in mid-60s, brought home a Caprice Estate Wagon slathered with wood grain, genuine simulated wood grain all over the sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of parking it in our driveway, he parked it in the next door neighbor's driveway because Dr. Ron Haynes lived there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a local dentist, and he was wanting to buy a station wagon. And so my dad, working for Chevrolet, he was not a Chevrolet dealer. He pulled into Dr. Haynes's driveway and had us all get in. The Haynes's got in. The Lawson's got in. We got in the very back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to demonstrate the new sound system that was available in the Chevrolet. And it was called, the source for the information that was going through the radio was called the 8-track tape. And he had this demonstration tape that he put in, and it was of a horse running.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, because of the fidelity or whatever, I don't understand all the the technical stuff as far as the sound is concerned. But all I know is that horse ran from the front of the vehicle to the back of
the
vehicle.
To the back. Mm-hmm.
And you could hear it just transition from the speakers in the front to the back, and we all went, wow.
Was that the Dolby surround sound?
No, there was no Dolby back then, 1968.
Okay.
You know, I remember what a thrill it was to go to a record store in the mall. You know, when Wendell and I would come up from Greenville and go to the big city, that would be Johnson City, and go to the mall, there was
a record bar.
Is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
The record bar?
Bought many records there,
okay.
Yeah.
So we would go in, and I mean, he was more into music than I was, but we would go to the 8-track section. We had our 8-track cases. Did you have a case?
I had a case, yes. I had several cases that I carried.
And so they were big and bulky.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, if you played it long enough, you could hear more than one song at a time.
You could, yes.
Was that the fault of the tape, or was that the fault of the heads on the tape player?
I think it's both, probably. But yeah, you could, usually, if you'll notice, if you were on track one, program one or whatever,
yeah,
it would be program three songs you would hear in the background. If you were on number two, you would hear four in the background.
Yeah, didn't like that.
And
no.
Vice versa.
It's confusing when you're trying to sing along to your girlfriend.
That's right. But that's just the way the technology wasn't. But, you know, we were just happy to slap an 8-track.
I mean, part of my song was Mudslide Slim, and the rest of it was Creedence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just didn't sound good together.
Right.
But anyway, the 8-track was a miracle. It was great for dating. You know, you could stay on... You could listen to Black Sabbath, you know, just consistently through for an entire hour.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about a record player putting the needle on it or anything like that.
So anyway, then there was a evolution that took place. You remember the next thing to come out?
Cassettes.
Yeah, but you know the first cassettes were introduced before the first 8-tracks?
Yeah, I remember seeing something.
1963
is
when the cassette tapes came out. They were better, but you couldn't get as much information on the tape. Was not would not hold as much information, and the fidelity wasn't as good as the 8-track, I guess, at the time. But the 8-track was it, and then the CD came out, right? Wasn't that after the cassette tape?
Yeah, CDs came out.
CDs came out, and the CDs, you know, were. Initially, it was just play one CD, and then they got to the point where you could play 8 to 10 CDs. Mm-hmm. You could load them right into the dash.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cars had the CD players in the back, or
glove
the changer,
compartment.
CD changer
in the back.
And so depending on how many of those you had, you could control all kinds of musical.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a DJ in your car.
Yeah, my dad's Lexus, which is a 98, I believe, has it in the glove compartment.
Well, General Motors just killed it.
Yeah.
They killed the CD player.
Yeah.
They have decided, and probably part of it has to do with the extra chips, you know, that they have to, use in order to be able to have a CD player. But mm-hmm. the CD player has bit the dust, at least it has at General Motors and at Ford Motor Company.
Well, people think they're obsolete now because you can do the Bluetooth music or, you know, some people, as you mentioned, plug it in or whatever, but now you just use your phone and get music.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, the industry has moved on to Bluetooth and to mm-hmm. Apple CarPlay. I mean, pretty much everybody has what they need in their phone, mm-hmm. if they have a phone. Now, if you're those folks that have an older car and you still have eight tracks or this Buick, this 76 Buick that I purchased, got 8,000 original miles on it. Mm-hmm. It has an eight track, and I've got some eight tracks at mom's, and I'm almost afraid to stick it in. I mean, that tape is getting pretty old.
The tape will probably break when you stick it in.
Yeah.
It probably can't handle it.
Yeah. And, but I was just driving that car around the other day. Thing ended up having an overheating problem, and I'm driving this Buick around. It's, like I say, it's only got 8,000 miles on it, and I couldn't drive it 5 miles, and the hot engine light would come on. Mm-hmm. So we did a test to determine that and found out basically that exhaust gases were getting into the coolant, so there is a leak in the head gasket. Mm-hmm. So we basically pulled both heads off, looked at the head gasket on both sides. Perfectly fine. No sign of a leak whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Then we sent the heads down to the engine shop to get them, you know, to check for cracks and to mm-hmm. get them leveled. And one was perfectly level. The other was not. One of the heads was not flat. It had a curve to it. Mm-hmm. And that was enough to let the exhaust gas get into the cooling and superheat the coolant in a very rapid way. Mm-hmm. Well, it took us a while to find all the parts, and we got it all together. It's not easy to find everything you need for a 1976 Buick Electra 225.
I imagine not.
And so we got it all back together, and I took it for a test drive. And the air conditioning is now blowing, that's supposed to be blowing out the vents, is now blowing out the floor and blowing out the defroster.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I flip it the other way, it's supposed to be blowing out the defroster. It's blowing out the vents.
So it's backwards.
He's got some of his vacuum hoses backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also there's this little gauge. You remember those little vacuum gauges that would tell you whether you're getting good gas mileage right now or bad gas mileage?
Yeah.
You know, it had a red and that's just vacuum driven. So that's mm-hmm. probably related. When he switches those two vacuum hoses, it'll probably take care of that.
Yeah.
That little problem.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But anyway, I enjoyed driving that thing around. It's just such a big floating boat, you know. But it is ancient, just like the 8-track is. Mm-hmm. And so General Motors is onto something here. You know, we're going to see other things, you know, start to go by the wayside, including the internal combustion engine eventually. If the liberal side of our society has their way, that we will not have any gasoline engine vehicles anymore, so that might be next.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably be gone by then. I hope so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I was driving, you know, I got my dad's 1985 Oldsmobile Royale Brougham.
Uh-huh.
You know, and drove it yesterday.
Oh,
boy,
good.
That thing just floats down the road.
What year is it?
It's something 85.
85, yeah.
Yeah, and it's got a cassette player in it. Cassette player and AM FM radio.
See, 76 for General Motors was the last year of the big car.
Mm-hmm.
In 77, they all shrunk down. The big cars shrunk down to midsize.
I remember the Malibu, how much it shrunk down.
Yeah. You know. Well, the Caprice, you know, yeah. at the time, the Caprice and Impala, the Cadillac, all of them shrunk down. And that was a major transition for them. But your dad's Oldsmobile was that mm-hmm. that same body style basically mm-hmm. in 1985,
mm-hmm.
but it's funny how over time those cars even seemed bigger.
Yeah,
you know, you got used to that size. They still had room and comfort. They said that the interior room was the same. I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah,
but I do enjoy driving that old big Buick
yeah.
around.
They're fun to drive for a change.
And if you want to buy it, it's going to be on bringatrailer.com here in a week or two.
Okay. Well, let's take our final break, and we'll come back and wrap things up. My Car Guru on a Wednesday morning.
You know, there's some advice out there, Tim, that I wanted you to be aware of. Why should you open your car door with your right hand?
Why should you open your car door with your right hand?
You ever heard of such a thing?
No.
When you open your car door, what hand do you use? The one closest to the door, right?
Yeah, I would think the left one, yeah.
But you're supposed to open it with your right hand.
Why is that?
Because if you open the door with your right hand, it turns your torso, right?
Uh-huh.
To the left, and turns your head to the left.
Right.
Where you can see an approaching vehicle easier. Now, one of the largest or the biggest causes of bicycle accidents is because of getting doored, is what the phrase is. It's where somebody's riding a bicycle along a row of parked vehicles, and somebody opens their door, and that's not a good combination with a bicycle.
Knock the person over on the bicycle.
Yeah, because bicyclists will typically ride to the right of the lane, especially, now maybe you say, well, they shouldn't be on the road anyway, but they have the same right to be on the road as you do.
Yeah.
Okay? But they do ride towards the right-hand side. Any good or knowledgeable person who rides a bicycle is not going to ride that close. And so, but a lot of people do. So open the door with your right hand and you will have fewer car door accidents with bicyclists or passing cars, because it forces your head to turn more, and you take advantage of that peripheral vision. There you go.
You don't want to be like Smokey and the Bandit. You know, remember that, where Jackie Gleason opened the door of the car, the patrol car, left it open, and the trucker knocked his door off.
Yeah, I watched the movie the other day. It made me think about this. It was called, I think the movie is called This Is 40.
Yeah.
And he's riding his bicycle along and gets doored by an old guy. And the old guy just goes off on him and said, "How dare you ride into my door?"
Yeah.
Bicyclists are not supposed to be on the road anyway. You know, so anyway.
That's a, like, get off my lawn type of thing, you know.
You never know what you're going to get here.
Anyway, that'll do it for My Car Guru on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.